Turn please to the book of Hebrews, New Testament book of Hebrews and chapter 4. Hebrews and the book of chapter 4 towards the end of the chapter. Now I'm sure you've probably noticed there's somebody else with us this morning. It's a model of Aaron the high priest. We're going to leave Ephesians for a time and take some messages on the high priest and the clothes that he wore on official occasions. These clothes were designed by God. He it was who decided the color and the design of the clothes that the high priest was to wear. Of course, he was the one instituted this office. There's a chapter in the Bible, we're going to turn to it later in chapter 28 of Exodus, will form the basis of our study where it gives you details of these clothes. Also in Exodus 39, it's repeated as they made it. Leviticus chapter 8, when the clothes were put upon him. There are about 50 chapters of God's word taken up with the high priest's ministry in the tabernacle. And of course, much of the book of Hebrews, in fact, from chapter 4:14 right through to chapter 10 is all about the high priest. So this is a very, very important subject. So many chapters of God's word containing stories about it. And the point is this, and the reason we have the model, and my wife's worked on it for quite a long time, got the mannequin, and then been embroidering and so on. I joke whether she took longer than Bezalel and Aholiab to made it. Maybe the men made it originally, filled with the Spirit to make it. See, men were filled with God, the Holy Spirit. In fact, the first time you read in the Bible of anybody being filled with the Holy Spirit, it was to make these clothes. Isn't that amazing? To make these clothes and the tabernacle, of course. So it shows the importance of this subject. Shows the importance of this subject. And the point is, when Israel had a high priest, those 1500 odd years, when he put on his official garments, see, Aaron was only a man, of course, the tribe of Levi, and then what, the oldest son right after him. When he would wear these official garments, he was dressed for work. It was, if you like, his uniform. And when he would walk about in the camp, or later on in the temple, and people would look, he would stand out, wouldn't they? Now there were other priests, but they would only dress in the white, that inner white, you'll see the sleeve. They had white garments. But the high priest had these other garments he put on as well, and when he would walk about in them, people would notice him. And he was a walking object lesson. He was a walking sermon, because these clothes signify spiritual truths. And of course we know that they point forward to the person and the work of our Savior. So Exodus chapter 4 verse 14, and it'll bring that out. Exodus 4:14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Then we're reading on into chapter 5 for a few verses, because this tells us how high priests were ordained and chosen, and how Christ is our high priest in chapter 5, verse 1. For every priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honour unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. And then over in chapter 8, as I say, right through to chapter 10 is all about the priest, but for time let's read chapter 8. And he's thinking back to the Old Testament tabernacle and he's saying, look, that's only a picture of heaven. So in chapter 8, verse 1, now of the things which he has spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched and not man. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he would not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For, see, saith he, that I make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. And then in this introductory message, turn back then to Exodus chapter 28. This is the passage we'll, Lord willing, be on to explain the various garments. We'll read just a few introductory verses in Exodus chapter 28. If you have a Bible marker or a bookmark, you can keep it in this chapter over the, Lord willing, the next few weeks. Exodus chapter 28. God speaking to Moses. Later on in chapter 39, you have the people making the garments, but here's God commanding Moses, chapter 28, verse 1. And take thy unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he... And notice, although he speaks of the sons, he speaks in the singular, but he's speaking of the high priest. That he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And we know that God shall bless this reading of his own infallible word for his own glory. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 are words we want to take by way of introduction to the study of the garments. Hebrews 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us bow in prayer, please. Father in heaven, as we turn to thy word and think upon the great truth that we have a great high priest. Lord, encourage our hearts this morning. We pray for any who may be downhearted, Lord, that thou would strengthen them, that they may see the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in his name we'd ask it. Amen. When these Jewish believers read this letter to them, and they read these words or read out to them in a meeting such as this, we have a great high priest. They would have been encouraged, excited, exhilarated. They would have been full of praise. Now, it doesn't have the same force with us, because, of course, these concepts of priests and temples and so on are very foreign to us, except when we turn to Scripture. But they were living in a day when there was a temple, there still was a high priest, that left the Old Testament way of doing things, because of course that had passed away when Christ died, but their friends would still go to a temple. They would still have a man dressed in garments like this, and they would say to their former friends, if they even talk to them at all, you've left the faith. And you just meet in a room with no ornate worship, and you don't have a high priest anymore. You don't have a temple. You don't have sacrifices. And how they've just read, we do have a priest. We have a high priest. In fact, we have a great high priest. See, in the Bible you read of many priests in the temple. But you read there's only one high priest at one time. But there's only one person who is called the great high priest. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there may be some Christians and they say, well, what's the point of studying a high priest who hasn't existed? All the forms and ceremonies and the clothes that he wore. My, there hasn't been one for nearly 2,000 years. What practical study is there in these things? I'm struggling with relationships. I'm struggling in the family. I have difficulties, struggling financially, struggling with sickness, struggling with sorrow, struggling with all kinds of temptation and problem. My, there are 1,001 more important practical issues that you could speak upon. Well, no. Because the study of the high priest and these garments is one of the most practical studies in the Word of God that affects our everyday life. It's not only practical, it's extremely important. I've already pointed out the number of chapters that are taken up with this study. But another important thing is to, when you understand the role of a high priest, and you understand the significance of his position, you begin to have a deeper understanding of the majesty and the glory and the holiness of Almighty God. And when you begin to realize that, then we begin to realize our sinfulness in the sight of a holy God. And when we realize God's holiness and our sinfulness, then we'll appreciate more the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll understand more of what salvation means. Yes, it's taking away the guilt of our sins, but it means more. It means we have a great high priest who doesn't minister in some earthly holy building somewhere, but he's ministering for us in heaven. And just with this man Aaron, what he ministered for in the Old Testament, and the Israelites, they looked up to the high priest. He was their spiritual leader. He's the one who went before God for them, who represented them. We will realize the Lord Jesus Christ in a far greater way does this for us. In fact, it's only when you understand and have a better appreciation of the high priest and what this man did, and what these official clothes meant, and what they typify, what they signify, what they picture, we'll understand the work of redemption. You see, there are so many words in Scripture and in Christian terms that we use today come from Aaron. We talk about going in through the veil. We talk about the mercy seat. We talk about redemption. We talk about propitiation, being washed from our sins, being cleansed, being purged, reconciled, sacrifice, atonement. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Those are terms we sometimes use. Where did they originate? With the work of this man, the high priest. They're all linked. They're all linked to the work of the high priest. And God used the high priest, and especially his clothing and the office, the work that he carried out, to be illustrative of our salvation and how we can know Christ. And so it gives us really a clearer understanding of the work of God. A priest was someone who represented the people before God. So pray for this study. Pray that God will open our eyes to understand the meaning, the significance of these particular garments, and to see the sufficiency of Christ's atonement. And so the text is telling us in chapter 4:14 of Hebrews, look, when you see you have a high priest, when you understand that you have a great high priest, well, therefore, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Don't give up your testimony. Some of these Christians were facing persecution. They were facing ridicule. They were told by their friends, it's all meaningless. Go back to your old life. Paul says, no, because when you understand you have a great high priest, how could you ever go back? How could you ever give up your Christian profession, your testimony, your confession of Christ? How could you ever do it when you realize you have a great high priest? The nation has been thinking of Winston Churchill lately, 50th anniversary of his death and of his burial, the man who was voted as the greatest Briton who ever lived. And of course, a man with very pithy, witty sayings, very humorous man, could be sharp and quick. He was asked when he'd just become Prime Minister to speak at his old school. In fact, when you read the biographies, and I have many of them of Churchill, he didn't do too well in school, actually. but he did become Prime Minister. So that's an encouragement if he didn't do too well in school. He became the Prime Minister in the greatest Britain. But he went to the old school, Harrow, to give a speech to the boys at the school, and he made those famous words in 1941, when Britain, of course, was facing the darkest days of the war, when it looked as if they would be defeated. And he stood up before the young boys at the school, and he said, I have a message for you. Never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 in nothing, great or small, large or pretty, never give in. Never give in. One of the famous statements of Winston Churchill. Well, Winston Churchill was telling the people to grit their teeth, as it were, and get stamina and determination. But the message of Hebrews is far, far greater than that. He's writing to these Christians who are tempted and tried and persecuted. Says later in the book that some of them lost all their belongings, their house and their belongings and their possessions and their money for the cause of Christ. And he says, listen, don't give in. And here's how you can have such resolve. Look to your high priest. Seeing you have a great high priest, keep going. Keep going. So what will keep you going through trials and problems and difficulties? Through disappointments in life, understanding what Aaron represented, what these clothes represented. In chapter 5, just very quickly before we move to chapter 28, notice some of the highlights here. It reminds us that in verse 1, every high priest, he has to be a man. That's why God the Son became man, because a high priest has to be taken from among man. He's ordained for men. He represents men. Christ had to become a man in order to represent us. That's what he's saying. He represented them. In verse 2, he had to have compassion. Had to have compassion. And there's wonderful pictures of Christ. But turn back, please, to Exodus 28 by way of introduction to the high priest study. Exodus 28. I just want to say some quick things about the high priest this morning by way of introduction. In chapter 28 and verse 1, Moses was told to take unto thee Aaron. I think it's the Americans, some of them would say Aaron, but Aaron or Aaron, whichever you want. Thy brother. Then it says that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. I want you to notice the selection. The selection of the high priest. God chose this man sovereignly. There were hundreds of thousands of men in the nation. But God said to Moses, remember he's on the mount the 40 days and 40 nights with God when he's told this and told the dimensions of the tabernacle. He says, Moses, I have chosen Aaron. One man. One man. He's my choice. Sovereign choice. You know your history that later on a man called Korah, Dathan and Abiram along with him, they rebelled. And they said, who made you a priest over us? And Moses, who made you our leader? We're entitled to this office. God struck them dead because they dared to try and usurp the office. I'm pointing out the selection of this man Aaron, the high priest. God selected him. Now, he is a type. The fact that God selected one man in the nation, Aaron, there at Mount Sinai when the 12 tribes became, as it were, a nation and the law was given and the sacrifices and the tabernacle, God said, there's one man, Aaron, I'm choosing him. That's a wonderful picture. We have only one true priest. I other priests to stay in, one of the hymns tells us. Christ is our only high priest. And he's chosen of God. There's no other savior. There's no other mediator. There's no other priest. And he is a man. Because God the Son became a man. Our text said in chapter 4, 14 of Hebrews, seeing then we have a great high priest, even Jesus, the Son of God. But Jesus reminds us of his humanity. He's God, but he's man. Now, when you study the high priest, of course, there are comparisons, but there are contrasts. Aaron was a sinner. So before he could represent the people on official occasions, the various rituals and so on, I don't have time to go into, he had to offer for himself, even the Day of Atonement, he had to offer sacrifices for his own sins first. Now, that's in contrast to Christ, who is sinless. And many of these garments, they're typical of, for instance, the white. Surely you know, looking at the white, it's a picture of sinlessness, of righteousness. Now, Aaron in himself was not righteous. So, and that is a contrast to our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who is absolutely sinless, the one, the great high priest. Now, the thing about Aaron, he died. And then his son took over. Eleazar became high priest after Aaron. And then he died and another man took over. There's only one at the one time. That's God's institution. Ah, but our great high priest is far, far greater because he lives in the power of an endless life. He gave himself as the one sacrifice for sin, but he rose again and he's exalted and he lives forever. Our great high priest cannot die. He's alive forevermore, so he's far greater than Aaron. And that's the point Paul makes in those chapters 4, 14 through to chapter 10. Aaron died. He had to offer sacrifices for himself. But our great high priest did not. Now, of course, Aaron was not the only priest. There were hundreds of priests. But he was the high priest, only one. We are priests. Every New Testament believer is a priest. We are priests unto God, we're told. 1 Peter 2, Revelation 1. We can offer praise and worship, but there's only one great high priest. The selection. God selected Aaron. He was a sinner. In fact, do you know when God selected him? He was leading the people in immorality and idolatry, building a golden calf. It's amazing, isn't it? The grace of God chose that man. See, salvation's not of works. He maketh a rebel, a priest, and a king. But he chose this man, this sinning man, Aaron, and he chose him to be his great high priest. Then I want you to notice the identification of the priest in verse 2, the end of the verse. Put these garments on Aaron for glory and for beauty. Ah, these marked Aaron out. Glorious and beauty. Now, again, he was a sinner, but these garments identified him with glory. The word glory can be translated honor. It speaks of the dignity of the office. The honor of the office of high priest. Beauty means excellent or fair or comely. The idea of beautiful. What it's saying is, these garments were made by men filled with the Holy Spirit. And when he walked about on official occasions, there was something glorious, something that set the man apart for honor and dignity. It identified him. That's the point we're making. It's an identification of the office, of the work, the glory and beauty. Ah, but the garments, they're those in type of the beauty. But you see, those garments, they're a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ's person and character. You see, in the Bible, clothes often signify character. If we had gone on in the study in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, Paul, you'd read where he said, put off certain things, the way you put off a coat. Put off lying and stealing. Put on, and here are graces you ought to put on. And that's often in Scripture. You take off, it's a picture of sins, those old clothes, sins, the clothes, and put on new clothes, graces. I'm saying garments often symbolize the idea of our character. Aren't Christians told to keep our garments unspotted from the world? The idea of our character, our person. You know these garments? The identification of the high priest. When you saw this man, he's the high priest. I'm saying the garments, they identified the high priest. Our high priest is identified by what these garments represent. For instance, this morning, just very quickly, look at the colors. Look at the colors. Go down to verse 5. Thou shalt take gold. By the way, we'll not get into it this morning, but it's not gold thread. It's not gold thread. The other four I'm going to mention are thread. But not the gold was actually beaten and was cut into thin wires. So it was actually gold wire was put through some of the garments. So it's literal gold. It's not gold thread. Gold in Scripture often is used to represent deity and the glory. You see, our great high priest, what did our text in Hebrews 4:14? He's the Son of God. He's not just a man. He's the Son of God. He's divine. And then there are certain colors here mentioned. Of course, the fine linen, I'll take it first. It's actually from a word that denotes linen and whiteness. Whiteness. Oh yes, you say the color isn't actually mentioned. Well, it is there and it's implied. It's white. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ, he's not only God speaking of his deity, but he's man. Because you know that linen comes from flax, from the ground. He's from the earth. He's perfect human. And the white speaks of righteousness. Our great high priest, he's deity. He is absolute, full of glory. We beheld his glory. Ah, but he's perfect man. And they're linked together. Just as in these garments, you'll see the illustration of it. The gold wires put through. That's the ephod, you call that, the outer garment. Gold wire put through it. The gold, the white, the blue. Thank God our Savior, our great high priest is the Lord from heaven. Aaron ministered in an earthly tabernacle. Our Savior this morning, our great high priest is in heaven. He's before the literal throne of God, interceding for us. He came with he came from heaven with a heavenly message to save a people, to bring them back to heaven, and he's in heaven today. His work of intercession. The blue. You've got the purple. Kingly color. Kingly color. Still the color of kings to this day. And our Lord Jesus Christ, you'll see, there's the purple through it as well. And you've got the color. He's king. Can you see it speaking about his authority and his deity and his humanity and his sinlessness? And then you have this beautiful color, the scarlet. The scarlet. Oh, I think we've time, and I know many of you know this, and we preached on the tabernacle, but if you don't take the trouble to turn to Psalm 22 a moment. If you've never seen this as a Christian, it'll bless your heart. Psalm 22. We're thinking here of the identity of our priest, Christ, his glory, his beauty, and these colors. And in Psalm 22, verse 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are the very words Christ uttered on the cross. In verse 16, it's a prophecy that his hands and his feet would be pierced hundreds of years before crucifixion was known. In verse 18, how they would gamble for his clothes, just as was done hundreds of years later. How's this prophesied? Because this Bible's unique. Ah, but look at verse 6. Christ is depicted as being on Calvary, but I am a worm. Imagine Christ saying, I am a worm. We've just talked about his glory, his deity, his authority as king. Here's the scarlet. You see, that word translated worm, let me read it to you. But I am a scarlet. I am a scarlet object. I am a scarlet thing. I am a scarlet worm. It's the worm the cotches, or cochineal, from which to this day there's a dye made for thread, the red, ruby red thread to this day. And in fact, might put you off your cake now. I looked it up. Some food colouring for cakes is made out of the same thing. That'll do you good. That'll put you off eating cake. Do you know some of the food colouring now? I looked it up. You can look it up. Cochineal, even in some cake dyes for the icing, is made from a worm. Now, you'll never touch cake again, will you? You're all right. What it is, there's still farm them, if you like, in places like Cyprus in the Middle East. And that little grub taken from cacti plants, and they're bruised and they're crushed, and it gives forth as they die. They literally give their lives as they're crushed. There is the red scarlet dye that is used to this day in some places of making the scarlet thread or the bright red thread. Not amazing when you go back to Exodus chapter 28. It's the word in the Hebrew for the little creature that dies to give the dye, but it's also used for the color as well. Can you see it? Can you see how these garments identified? It identifies our Savior as in his deity, in his glory, in his authority, in his humanity, in his sacrifice on Calvary. He's our great high priest. His selection, his identification. Look again in chapter 28. I want you to think of his consecration. These garments in verse 3, note it, verse 3, towards the end of the verse. They may make Aaron's garments. Why? Why did he wear these garments? To consecrate him. To consecrate him. They were garments for consecration. It means to set apart. Look at verse 2 again. They were make holy. These are holy garments. What does that mean? It's the same word translated consecrate. Consecrate. Same word. Go over to chapter 29, verse 1. This is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow. To make holy, to consecrate. All those terms are exactly the same term, Kodesh. In fact, if you look closely, it's actually in Hebrew on his forehead. That's a long way down their study, but it's actually there. Kodesh Yehovah, holy to the Lord. You see, he wore these garments in order to be consecrated. Consecrated for what? The word means to be set apart for a special purpose. It set him apart. Why? Well, verse 1, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. You have it at the end of verse 3, minister unto me in the priest's office. You have it at the end of verse 4, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. He is consecrated to be a priest unto God. To represent the people. To do something towards God. That's the important. Don't miss that. He was ordained for God. This high priest does something in the worship of God. Talking about the sacrifices. But he represents the people. There's the double aspect. He's doing something before God. And for God's glory. But he's representing the people. They can't approach unto God. They're sinners. We're sinners. We can't approach unto God. But you see, the high priest went into the holiest of all for the people. He represented the people. He doesn't represent himself. He's the epitome of the whole nation. All of Israel is represented in him. Some of you probably, maybe if you've never studied this, wondering what that thing he has on his chest. Each stone represents one of the 12 tribes. All God's people. That's what he's consecrated to do. To do something before God on behalf of the people. And our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth to do something for his Father. But on our behalf. On our behalf. Can you see it there? Consecrate to make holy. Now Aaron was not holy. So in chapter 29, there's a long chapter. Take time to read it sometime. You'll find before Aaron could be the high priest, do you know what had to happen? All his old clothes were stripped off him. He was washed from head to toe. These are all symbolic acts. A bullock was taken. It happened to his sons as well. They become priests. Bullock was taken. The blood was sacrificed and poured out before the altar. Speaking, of course, of the need of cleansing through the blood. And then a ram was taken and it was offered and the blood poured out. Then another ram was taken and it was offered. And then they took the blood of the ram to consecrate, to set Aaron apart and his sons. And they put the blood on his right thumb and his right big toe and his right ear. Why? Because he set apart to hear God. He set apart to work for God. He set apart to walk for God in his day-to-day life. They're all pictures of holiness. Blood-marked man. Of course, that's to be true of us as people of God, New Testament priests. So there's going to be lessons in this study for us too, as well as the work of Christ. And then they took oil that represents the Holy Spirit, and that was put on his right ear, his right thumb, and his right big toe. You see, this man's work is consecrated. His hearing, his walk, cleansed by the blood, the Holy Spirit. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ did not have to be consecrated in that sense because he's sinless. He's sinless. But he was anointed with the Spirit. It was actually poured on Aaron. The sons had it sprinkled. It was actually poured all over Aaron in chapter 29. He's set apart. He's set apart. You see, the book of Hebrews tells us, and I don't have time because the time's going here, but chapter 7, verse 26 of Hebrews, read it later. He ever lives to make intercession for us. He's holy, he's harmless, he's undefiled, he's separate from sinners, and he's made higher than the heavens. That's what Paul wrote about our high priest. He's holy, he's harmless, he's not defiled. He's absolutely consecrated and sinless. One last thought, and I've already mentioned the words in verse 1, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Minister unto me in the priest's office. And it's this word, representation. Representation. Yes, I've touched on it already, but we want to emphasize it in closing. There was the selection of the high priest, the identification, that's why he wore these garments, for identification. For consecration he wore them. But all the choosing, the selecting and so on, it was for this purpose, that he would minister in the priest's office. And what was the ministry of a priest? Representation. Representation. The names of the people of God were upon his breast, his heart. The names were upon his shoulders, and he represented them. He represented them, and we think now of the Lord's table. On the great day of atonement, Leviticus 16, the most holy day in the calendar each year, the high priest would take off these official garments, and he would go alone and take the animal and sacrifice it. After making atonement for his own sins, he would sacrifice the offering. Why? For the sins of the people. He's making representation. And then he would take the blood. And he would take the blood right into where the throne of God was. And he would sprinkle 7 times perfection upon what represented the throne of God. He's representing the people. He's offering the sacrifice. Our great high priest there on Calvary, he offered himself as the sacrifice for our sins. He represented us. That's the gospel. When he shed his blood on Calvary, can you say this morning, he represented me? But not only that, he rose again by virtue and power of his own precious blood, and he ascended to the very throne of his Father in heaven, and he presented the value and the victory and the virtue of a sacrifice before the throne, and he represented us, and God is satisfied. That's why our sins are forgiven. That's why, although we're sinners and know that some people think about the Lord's table, well, I have to be really worthy and live such a... Oh, listen, you've got it wrong. To take the Lord's table worthily means we come, we say, we're only sinners, we don't deserve it. But Jesus Christ paid the price for my sin. And I come to thank him, because he represented me. Ah, but he also took the prayers with him, the censer. And on other occasions, when he came out again, he'd put on the robes. And he'd often go into the holy place to the altar of incense, and he'd pray. And thank God this morning, when Paul said to these believers, seeing then we have a great high priest, hold fast your testimony. Don't be giving up. What he means is, you've someone in glory, the great high priest, and he's there praying for you. You know, this morning we sit here, Christian, he's praying for you. Oh, that those are sick, unable to be out this morning, I pray that they would realize we have someone in the glory, God, man, our great high priest, and he's sympathizing with them and praying for them. Do you know anything about this high priest? Can you say this morning, he's my high priest? That he died for me, and thank God he represents me before the throne of God above. I have a strong, a perfect plea. Let's bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee this morning for these simple few thoughts on what it means that we have a great high priest. Lord, how these Hebrew believers must have been absolutely thrilled to know that they had somebody greater than a literal man, that they had the true great high priest as their Savior. Comfort us, Lord. Give us the strength to overcome the temptations and trials in life, we pray. Be with those who must go. Remain with us who remain around thy table. And bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The hymn number...